Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where our goal is to inform, inspire, and impact our listening audience. We do this by featuring nonprofits who share all the great things that they're doing and how they're making a difference in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Today, our theme for the show is taking care of families. We'll be learning about two nonprofit organizations that accomplish that task in different ways, but the end result for both is ultimately taking care of our loved ones in a loving, caring, compassionate, and safe way. My first guest today is Jeremy Chapman, President and CEO of Visiting Angels of Pewaukee, a non-medical in-home care provider who predominantly serves seniors, but also disabled, handicapped, or medically recovering individuals. They stand out as a leader in senior home care, recognized both locally and nationally for their commitment to excellence and quality. Welcome to the show today, Jeremy.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it, Jill, and the Ellenbecker Investment Group.
You're certainly welcome. So why don't we start, Jeremy, by you telling us why you wanted to open a local Visiting Angels care facility?
Sure. There's a lot of different reasons. I'll narrow it down. I would say a big part of it is just kind of remembering our roots. I think one of the things that's important to me is just remembering our roots, that we're kind of always standing on somebody else's shoulders. And so the opportunity to serve seniors really fits a big part of just personally, you know, who I am and what's important to us. Also, just in our family, we're kind of a golden rule type family. We want to do unto others as we would have done unto us. We are a faith family, and so we believe it's important to love our neighbor as ourselves. And, you know, Jesus himself came not to be served, but to serve. And so that's a big part of why we have a Visiting Angels. Another huge defining moment would be reflecting on my childhood, my youth. My relationship with my grandma was a unique thing. Being a teenager was, you know, rocky like a lot of teenagers. We didn't always have the best relationship. But as I transitioned to college, I went to a community college. The college I went to was actually just a couple blocks away from my grandma's retirement center. And so she, being a wise older woman, would invite me over for lunch, and I would go over and have conversation with her and get to hear her heart and hear her stories. And really just came to have an appreciation for my grandma that I, you know, I don't think is entirely common, but I really, really came to appreciate.
I think that is so important, that intergenerational relationship that's unfortunately missing. Maybe not missing entirely, but it's certainly not how it used to be. Right?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, so that became super important to me. My grandma actually ended up then, you know, eventually not doing well in health, and she moved in with our family, and my mom took care of her. And so we kind of just got to see that phase of life play out, you know, as seniors age and difficult decisions have to be made, and making sure honor and dignity is there, and watching the relationship between my mom and my grandma play out, and moments of awesomeness, you know, that just doesn't happen, right, if you're not close and you're not present. Also, like, moments of awkwardness that, you know, things that you would hope a mom would never have to do for her daughter, or that a daughter would have to do for their mom. And so that really just compelled me towards Visiting Angels and what we do and how that fits. And for me, Visiting Angels is the ultimate culmination of honoring elders, it's serving others, and it's ultimately treating others the way that you want to be treated. And so that's the why behind what, you know, why we do what we do.
Love that. Well, give us more detail on who you serve specifically and what are some of the services that you provide?
Sure. I think we serve the nation's greatest national treasure and seniors and veterans. We also take care of handicapped, disabled, surgery, recovery patients, but predominantly seniors with our living assistance services. We are non-medical, but our services include light housekeeping, meal prep, bed reminders, personal hygiene, can be playing games or driving to a store. Oftentimes, we're even providing just respite, a day off for family who's taking care of a loved one. Or maybe coverage during a vacation. Honestly, you know, it's anything that helps support or helps improve the quality of the life of a senior who's trying to live independently in their own home or also even in an assisted living facility. That's a common misconception. We are in a lot of facilities as well. Facilities may offer services, but, you know, hey, if you want to take a shower more than once a week, you might have to have some other supportive services in there. And so we help supplement a lot of the services that are provided in some care facilities.
Thanks for sharing that. I think that's really important. Like you said, not many people would think about that. You know, they're already in an assisted living facility, but you provide services over and above what they might have already planned for their loved one.
Yep.
Well, help us understand the process. How does a family, a client, get started?
Sure. So it would just simply begin with the phone call. We would provide a free in-home consultation where we'd meet with the client and whatever other family members want to be there. And what we work to develop is a mutually agreeable care plan, which would just say what are the services that we're providing, how often are we providing, what's the frequency and duration, are there any client preferences, are there pets in the home or anything like that. Just kind of put together a profile for that client. If a client signs with us, we then put together what we call a care plan that goes to our software. The care plan kind of puts together a checklist for our caregivers. And so when our caregivers are in the home or in the facility, that creates the checklist of services that they're providing there. Also, that checklist is an opportunity for our caregivers to note any observations that they've had during that visit. That care plan is also accessible to the family. And so it's very important to us to communicate with the family. That they know that we're doing our job, that they know that we're paying attention. And it also gives the opportunity for the family to communicate with us any things that they're noticing as well. And so to have, you know, as good of a circle of care, continuous care as possible, it's really important to us.
Okay. And then how are the services paid for?
We work closely with ADRC as well as the Veterans Association, and we have a growing list of long-term care insurance companies that will also pay for our services.
Okay. So people should not be concerned about that piece at all.
We, as best as we can, we never want finances to be an obstacle to care.
But
it's a reality, but we don't want it to be an obstacle.
Right, right. Well, I'm curious if you're seeing any particularly interesting home care trends.
Sure. I would say I'll give you a good one that's happening. I'm seeing more families be aware of healthcare POAs and financial POAs. More families also in wills or trusts calling out the fact that they want home care. They don't want to go to a nursing home. They're setting aside funding for that already. So they're making those plans proactively. I think anytime you can be proactive in these moments, it helps relieve stress.
Absolutely, during
potentially stressful times. I would say a concerning trend is unfortunately we see, you know, a lot of parents being put in homes maybe against their will or sooner than they want because it might be easier for family. And so as best as we can, we try to, you know, encourage family to honor their loved one's desires as best as possible, as long as possible. Ultimately, that is a family decision. But again, in the spirit of treating each other the way that we would want to be treated,
right.
That's what we try to encourage.
Yeah. And we always encourage our clients to be prepared, you know, prepare that stuff ahead of time so it doesn't become
right
a contentious issue, right? Well, let's talk impact. Do you have a particularly special or impactful story that you can share with us?
Sure. One of my favorite stories that just recently happened, we have a client by the name of Brigitte from Germany, strong accent. She's just having a hard time. Her husband had recently passed away and life was throwing her, you know, some hard times. And so she had reached out and expressed some frustration. So I took it upon myself to go visit her. And I have a daughter, McKenna, who is interested in visiting angels and caregiving. And so I had her go with me. One of her issues was she, you know, her husband having just passed away, he took care of so many things that she didn't now know how to do. She was so proud of her husband. He was literally a NASA engineer, and she had all sorts of certificates and articles and things that she was showing us while we were there. But her big frustration was she had family in Germany that she wasn't able to speak to. She was trying to use the WhatsApp to be able to communicate with them. Of course, I have to bring my daughter with to help me because of technology. And so we were working with her to kind of help get that set up. And just, you know, again, sharing with her, listening to her, helping her with some technology. As we were getting ready to leave, I asked, you know, is there anything else I can do for you? And she kind of sheepishly, but hilariously asked, well, can you open a bunch of jars for me? And so I spent 5 minutes opening different jars around her kitchen that she wasn't able to get open. And it was just a simple, small act, spending time, you know, with Brigitte, with my daughter, and just going the extra mile to care for somebody. And so it was a great reminder of why we do what we do.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we forget that the elderly don't remember or cannot simply do some of these, what we would look as simple tasks. They just can't do them. And right. So to open up jars or to help them with technology, that's a biggie.
Yep.
Is so, so helpful. What sounds like your work or your calling as an owner operator of an in-home care facility is very impactful, not only for the clients that you serve, but also for you as well, Jeremy, not to mention rewarding, right? But you have other members of your staff that are impacted in a meaningful way as well. So stay tuned because we'll hear from Jeremy's practice manager after our short commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Julie Conimo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Jeremy Chapman, President and CEO of Visiting Angels of Pewaukee. And we're also going to welcome Stacy Stengel to the conversation. She is the resident practice manager. Welcome to the show today, Stacy.
Hey, Jill. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. So tell us your why for being a part of Visiting Angels and maybe share a favorite story that best reflects that.
Sure thing. I was raised in great deal by my grandparents growing up, and so I have a very special place for this segment of our population in my heart. But I am going to share a little bit of a letter that I recently received that just, again, reminded me of why I do what I do. This was from an individual who we took care of, his mom. It starts out with, "Dear Visiting Angels, it's been over a week since my mom's funeral. She was 91 and lived a full great life. I remember how well Visiting Angels seemed to connect with her right away as soon as they met her. She was not so sure about these services, but she quickly warmed up to the angels. In fact, before long, Mom was looking forward to these visits. 'When are they coming back?' she'd ask. So Visiting Angels truly became a part of our family. And to the very end, Visiting Angels was still there for my mom. So he said, in closing, high praise to Visiting Angels and thanks to all those girls and gals, guys that came to our home. They were all great. And my family is forever grateful." Getting letters like this just reminds me.
Yes, absolutely.
People need assistance. They need support. And we were there for them.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you call your caregivers angels, which I absolutely love. Tell us what you're looking for in an angel and what qualities do they need to have?
Sure. Some of our best angels were either teachers, maybe taking care of others is just who they are. And others had family members, maybe they assisted. And it just kind of helped bring out the desire about helping others. And they realized this was truly their calling. It's what's in their heart to do.
Well, what does a typical visit look like from an angel?
Well, a caregiver will always run through what they're going to do that day with the client, see if there's any particular needs, ask how a client's day is going, keeping the client involved in that day-to-day ensures that we touch what's on most important to them. And some of the items we do are things like housekeeping, med reminders, prepping some meals for them, taking them to appointments or grocery shopping, shower assistance. These are all things our angels are going to be, I say, pretty great at because they've gone through what we call a care academy, where they've had lots of topics of discovery for them that maybe they weren't sure of, and they can learn by online courses. And we also do some in-house training as well.
Okay. Well, do you ever run into a client who may not always be receptive to an angel coming into their home, or maybe they don't think that they need the help?
Of course we do. Some of our clients, they just aren't so sure about this help, you know, and they assure their kids they don't need this help. But I like to remind them that, you know what, sometimes you're right. You may not think you need that assistance. You're doing it for your kids, and it gives them great peace of mind. But I'll tell you, as soon as our angels come in and they start kind of getting to know each other, that relationship just organically evolves. And I think the situation is wonderful. They really acknowledge each other's presence and get to know each other on a level that makes the angel feel like they're part of their family, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So trust is a great issue that gets taken care of in that situation.
And I think so many times when people say that, you know, it was like the person that you're caring for is saying it was such a blessing, but the person that is actually doing the caring, the caregiving, is saying, no, this was such a blessing to
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
You know, it goes both ways. I think it would be helpful if you had some tips for best caring for senior loved ones that you could share.
Absolutely. I'd say number one, patience.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that big one. That's a big one.
Take the extra time. You know, listen to each other. Listen to what mom or dad or a sibling or spouse wants. Understand that, you know, visiting angels is going to be there to reassure, help understand their needs. Take pride in that.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a big one. And again, it's not easy. That's why they have caregiving for the caregiver.
They
have programs out there, you know,
Absolutely.
To help the caregivers.
Absolutely.
Because it's tough.
Self-care is important.
Draining. Yes, for sure. What are some ways that Visiting Angels is involved in the community? Because community is such an important piece for us here at EIG, and we like to share how others are collaborating or partnering or just getting involved out there in the community.
Sure. We collab with various senior living residents. Sometimes it's just spreading a little cheer, bringing in some treats for everybody. Or maybe it's that we're the new face calling bingo that day. Or during game time, we're helping pass out or distribute items, sitting with them, helping them play bingo, helping them play tic-tac-toe cards. It's just having somebody fresh, new, and listening to them. So possibly, too, we have a broader picture, I guess, I'd like to let you know, too, as far as we sponsor community events like Waterfront Wednesdays in Pewaukee during the summer. We participate in the Alzheimer's Association's annual walks. And we have booths at many senior fairs throughout the county all year long.
And I know that you're really big in terms of involvement in the Pewaukee community. And that's
Correct.
Probably why you chose to set it up in Pewaukee.
Yeah, Pewaukee's been a great location for us. It's Lake Country. It's a high population density. It's a great venue for us. One of the things that makes us unique, and I've got to give a shout out to Ellie. We've been doing Visiting Angels for the last 26 years, and Ellie's been with us for those entire 26 years since the franchise started. And so she is a rock in our office, and she helps us. We serve about 110 clients right now, about 65 caregivers. And, you know, we're just focused on delivering. We understand that when you ask us to do a job, we want to make sure our yes is yes and our no is no, and we show up and get it done. And it's truly a team effort. Couldn't do it without everybody pitching in and doing their part.
Well, shout out to Ellie. Yay, Ellie. Congratulations for 25 years. That's wonderful. I would venture to say that most people have someone in their life that needs to be cared for. So what advice or what message would you like to share before we end our time together today?
Sure. I would say, our call to action is just simply, be aware, check in on a senior. Maybe as you're listening to this broadcast, there's somebody that's coming to mind. Don't just let them come to mind. Pick up the phone or send a text or do something to reach out, show that you love them, show that you care. You're thinking about them. Again, like we said, be patient and take time to listen. Are they safe? Do they need assistance? Never underestimate the power of encouragement, of just being there, the power of a person's presence. The other call to action I would say is if being an angel is something you're interested, honestly, angels are godsends, not just to us as a business, but more importantly to clients who need services. And so if anything that we've mentioned is intriguing to you, I would encourage you to explore caregiving. And give us a call. We'll provide training. The biggest thing, again, is it's calling. We want to make sure that you got the right character. Anything else I can train you, I can teach you. But you can't teach character. You can't teach compassion. And so if that's you, we're interested.
And what's the best way for people to do that? What's the best way for people to reach out to your specific location?
They can give us a call anytime at 262-695-4418. Even if we're not there, we do have an answering machine, so they can feel free to leave a message, and I promise we'll give you a call the next day.
Okay, one more time.
262-695-4418.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you, Jeremy and Stacy, for participating in our interview today and for sharing all the great things that you're doing over there at Visiting Angels of Pewaukee.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that our guests today both offer support to families, but in different ways. I've learned that Jeremy Chapman is not the only one in his family of seven who have a heart to serve. His daughter, Addison, has a huge heart for foster care and families and is now working her dream job at our next nonprofit featured today. So stay tuned to learn more after our short commercial break.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Bethany Bernhard, director of the Greater Milwaukee and Dane and Sauk Counties Safe Families for Children, Wisconsin, whose goal is to contribute to the prevention of child abuse and neglect, reduce the number of children entering the child welfare system, and support and stabilize families by building a network of caring and compassionate volunteers to support those families facing social isolation. Welcome to the show today, Bethany.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Well, you're certainly welcome. We're excited to have you and learn more. So you have quite a bit of ground to cover, serving as director of not only Greater Milwaukee, which I imagine is a big job, but also Dane and Sauk counties as well. So you obviously have to have a passion for what you do to be so invested in this area. Tell us why you chose to focus on families specifically.
Sure. So my why for leading Safe Families is because I have hope, both earthly and eternal. Ever since I was a kid, I've had a deep compassion for those who struggle and have hopelessness. And I've just been very blessed to have people in my life that when hope felt distant, they were there to share their hope with me until I could find it again. And I think everyone should have at least one person in their life that will share their hope with them and walk through every storm.
I would agree 100% with that one. Yeah. To provide hope to someone is more than I think anyone really might realize. It's so, so important. So let's say someone listening has a little extra time that they can offer to support families in some way. Why would you encourage people to choose Safe Families for Children to volunteer with?
Absolutely. So I want to start by just painting a simple picture. Imagine there's a single mom. She's doing all the things right. She's working hard. She loves her kids, but her car breaks down. Then her childcare falls through and she has no family nearby. In that moment, what she really needs is someone to step in with love and hope and not judgment, someone to be her village. So, for example, a real story that's happening live for us now is yesterday, one of our moms had a C-section and where she's currently staying told her that if she doesn't find care for her one-year-old and her four-year-old, they're going to call CPS to have them removed. I know. That's where Safe Families comes in. We had a conversation with her. We learned what was important to her. We learned all about her kids. And then we asked our volunteers to help. So yesterday morning, our host family volunteers brought these sweet kids into their homes so mom could have her baby in peace. And at the end of this week, the kids will go home. Mom had no challenges to her rights as a parent. And we will continue to support and encourage her while she walks this out.
Mm. So that's a big reason why people might want to be a part of,
yes,
a volunteering for your organization.
Correct.
They're there in so much of a support capacity. You talk about this circle of support. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have several different opportunities for volunteering with Safe Families. One is to be a resource friend, and that's to meet tangible and transactional needs like clothing, furniture, financial support. We also have family friends who offer encouragement. They can do meals, rides, even daytime babysitting, simple acts, and just being a friend, right, that provides that hope. We also have family coaches. I am a big advocate that while people in need, right, you give them the fish and then you also teach them to fish. And so our family coaches are going to coach them. They're going to set goals, provide assistance if there's a hosting and a need comes up to help try to navigate that. And then a host family, which is kind of what we've been known for locally over the last decade, is these host families are vetted and background checked similarly to families that do foster care, and they are able to open their homes for children temporarily while parents work through their challenges.
So we can obviously see how important the circle of support is for the family, the children. They stay safe. They stay connected to their families. The volunteers experience meaningful and life-changing relationships as well. So all really, really great stuff. So you told us why you think someone who's interested in volunteering should choose Safe Families. Now, tell us why a parent should feel confident about choosing Safe Families for children to help them. We talked a little bit about this circle of support, which is certainly a reason why, yeah, someone might want to connect with Safe Families. But what else would you say in that regard?
Yeah, so we are a network of ordinary people. And there's church families, there's individuals, couples who are willing to open their hearts and homes to parents who are facing hard times alone. And parents should not have to pay. They don't have to face hard times alone. We are a community of caring volunteers. We come alongside parents, offering support, encouragement, and practical help. We screen and vet very carefully all of our volunteers that come into contact with them, and they get a variety of volunteers in their lives. So the circle of support is not just placed on one person. It's a variety of people that come around the family to support them, because different people bring different gifts and different skills and resources. And so we want to make sure that they're surrounded with a variety of different opportunities. One of the best things about it is that parents don't lose their rights. This doesn't affect that at all. There is no involvement from DHS or anything. And we work with them shoulder to shoulder at times and have a healthy working relationship. But we try to be upstream to children ending up in the child welfare system. So our goal is to support them as best we can in a judgment-free space while they get back on their feet and knowing that their kids are cared for and their family is supported.
So you kind of, again, alluded to this before, but what would you say makes Safe Families different than perhaps some other serving agency out there?
Yeah, we are voluntary and we're free. The parent chooses to participate. The volunteer chooses to participate. And at any time they feel that they would like to stop or pause, that is absolutely fine. We will work with that. It's also preventative. We want to be helpful before small challenges become big crisis, right? And that may then offset the involvement of other local systems. We're also faith-inspired and compassionate. So while we're a regular 501c3, we are faith-driven, and our volunteers more often than not, are motivated by their faith of radical hospitality and really the desire to keep families together.
And I think that's such a big thing. I mean, we know that there are forces out there that try and divide families, break families apart, and anybody that can be in there that focuses on keeping that family together is such a blessing. Walk us through the process for somebody getting support.
Sure. It's very simple. You can call our intake line, or you can simply go online and fill out a form to request help with our intake coordinators, who are, some of them are volunteers, and they're all very compassionate. It's a very simple process. We will then take the intake and go back to the team, match them with a family that is agreeable for the situation, and move forward. And there's also then the family coaches and family friends that provide that ongoing support to ensure safety, communication is going well, goal setting. The families are never alone, and Safe Families volunteers become their circle of support.
And then do clients age out, or do they get to a point where you say, sorry, you have to move on to some different services? Or is that constant as long as the need is there?
Sure. So we will work with them as long as they are needing help. Ideally, we move into more of a natural relationship from the families and the volunteers. But as long as there are goals that are being reached and worked towards, we will work with them as long as we need to, right? We're not interested in hosting kids and taking on generosity from volunteers so people can watch Netflix and sit around and, you know, have a leisurely time.
Take advantage of the situation.
Right, exactly. So there always has to be a need and a goal for a hosting. And so as long as parents are doing the things and making progress forward, we are very understanding, and we do understand that life happens and people take steps backwards as well. But if we see that there's the desire to continue to grow, then we want to keep working alongside them.
Nice, nice. And then how is your work funded?
So we are 100% privately funded through generous donors, churches, and foundations. And we have had a really great last year and a half. Every dollar. So we track our volunteer hours. And the most recent numbers is we have seen 36,500 plus volunteer hours, which when you take the national value of volunteer service, it's $1.2 million that we have had volunteers put in just 2025 alone.
Wow.
Which, so when you give a dollar to Safe Families, we are quadrupling that. So for every dollar donated, you are giving, it's got a $4.03 impact of the return on your investment.
Very nice. We like to talk about return on investments here.
You might.
Yeah, so that's very good to know. Okay, well, we've learned, Bethany, that the work that you do is deeply rewarding and that you have a deep bench in terms of support services. I understand that you're adding a new program to this depth of service. Sounds super exciting. And we have someone who is super excited to share all about it, joining our conversation. So stay put, because we'll be right back after a short commercial break so you can hear more. Stay tuned.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Julie Conimo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking in our last segment today with Bethany Bernhard from Safe Families. And also joining us is someone I made reference to in the first segment. Jeremy Chapman's daughter, Addison, is here as well, and she is the program supervisor for the new program called Safe Families Plus. So thank you for joining our conversation, Addison.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Why don't you start by telling us the why behind Safe Families Plus?
Yeah, so Safe Families Plus provides long-term mentorship for youth aging out of foster care. We offer belonging, guidance, and stability as they transition to adulthood. So a little bit about that why. 50 to 90% of sex trafficking victims have been in the child welfare system. 46% of youth who age out of foster care are homeless by age 26. And around 70% of youth who age out will have been in jail at least once by age 26. Lastly, 25% of teens who age out will end up incarcerated within 2 years of aging out. So we want to help youth have hope and give them someone in their corner. In Wisconsin alone, there are over 6,000 children in out-of-home care. Therefore, they are at risk of aging out and being a part of those statistics. These youth often face human trafficking, gangs, prison, unplanned pregnancy, and other difficult life circumstances. This happens because they don't have guidance, direction, or hope. So Safe Families Plus exists to, like I said, change the statistics of young adults going into these life-threatening environments and instead bring them guidance, direction, relationship, and hope through our mentors.
Mm, wonderful, wonderful program. Sounds really, well, unfortunately needed in our community, but it's just the reason why we do this show is to highlight those people that are kind of stepping in the gap there and providing support. And then what inspired the creation of the PLUS program?
Yeah, so we found that a high percentage of parents that we work with Safe Families for Children, have themselves had some level of child welfare involvement in their childhood. So we see that their lack of support at a young age has led to harder circumstances as they've grown up. So we see the need there. The program originated in Chicago, and it's proven to be impactful there. So we saw the need for it here as well. And then additionally, personally, I grew up having many foster siblings close to me. Once they left, they were always on my heart. I would worry about them a lot. I wanted the best for them. I'd be like, what's going to happen? Like, I didn't know where they were going when they left our home. So it was very hard for me. And so I think it's been something big on my heart to, you know, as a believer, we're called to see people through the lens that Jesus sees us. And that's with love and grace. At-risk youth has been a community that God placed heavy on my heart for years, and I want to help them feel seen the way that God sees them, and that's loved, created on purpose for a person, for a purpose, forgiven, and worth it.
Mm, love that. That's wonderful. Well, how would you say, Addison, that Safe Families Plus is different from Safe Families for Children?
Yeah, so just to reiterate, Safe Families Plus is a mentorship program. We serve youth ages 14 through 21 who are at risk of aging out of foster care. Our goal is lasting relationship. So we take referrals for ages 14 through 21, but the goal is that the relationship will last far beyond age 21. We value giving these kids consistency, which is something that they've never had. We match each youth with a mentor, someone who builds trust with them, to first have a relationship and be a support for them, and then walk alongside them so they can successfully transition to adulthood. Each mentor and mentee relationship has a coach, which will engage in quarterly goal setting and weekly check-ins. The coach helps to troubleshoot, provide resources, and assure that the relationship is making just positive progress and growing. So Safe Families Plus follows a similar circle of support model as Safe Families for Children, where we encourage family-like relationship, hope-building, radical hospitality, disruptive generosity, and intentional compassion. Where Plus is different from Safe Families for Children is that first we are youth-focused, but also that we are trying to be a bit more upstream. Safe Families exists to be upstream from children having to go into the welfare system. Safe Families Plus exists to avoid people having to make that call for help later in their adult life.
So, Addison, you talked a little bit about the importance of mentorship in the Safe Families Plus. Talk a little bit more about what does it look like in the Plus model?
Yeah, so mentorship is inclusion in family dinners or festivities, holidays, taking a mentee to a meal, showing up for their accomplishments or events. We encourage that they can do a Bible study together, go to church together, work on building a resume, talking through a budget. Many of these youth are getting their first job, so if you can, say, put a little money aside every paycheck for a savings account, that they don't have somebody to teach them that. They could also do mock job interviews. These youth need support. They need to be able to be a kid and have fun, but also an opportunity to live and learn and feel supported as they're going through that. So that's what a mentor offers.
Well, and I love that you don't have age on your side. I mean, how old are you?
I'm 20.
Okay, yeah. So if you're listening and you're 20 years old or around there, you just think about the difference that Addison is making and say, gee, I can do that too. You know, a lot of mentors are seasoned, shall I say, and have a lot to offer, but so does the younger generation. Mm-hmm. And so if you're listening today and you have a heart to serve families or other children, you know, kind of take an example from Addison, you know, and just say, I can do this too. I can show up to support somebody in some way. So speaking of that, if someone's listening and they want to help out or get involved in some way, give us some ideas for how they can do that.
Yes. So you can volunteer, become a part of a circle of support or a mentor through the PLUS program. You can give. Generosity multiplies impact and keeps children safe and supports youth as they're transitioning to adulthood. And you can connect with us, connect with the community, foster care community. Our website is www.safefamilieswi.org. If you visit our Safe Families website, you will find our Safe Families Plus tab. There we'll give you information on becoming a mentor. And then our original website will give you information on becoming a volunteer. And then if you have any questions about becoming a mentor, you're also welcome to email me. And it's Addison, Addyson, at safefamilieswi.org.
Okay. Do you have anything to add to that, Bethany?
Sure. So when you volunteer with Safe Families, you're becoming part of someone's support system. So whether it's you could host a child for a few days, maybe you could host for more than a few days. Maybe you could even host a mom and her child temporarily. Maybe you could mentor a teen in the foster care system, provide a meal, help with transportation, or simply pray and encourage a family who's walking through a really hard time. All of our roles matter, all of our connection counts, and we have seen miracles happen when the church and the community show up. And I'll be honest, our city and surrounding area needs more of us. We're growing in Washington and Ozaukee counties, so connections there are always helpful as well. And today, I just am asking your listeners to consider stepping into this movement of compassion, whatever that might look like for them.
Okay. Well, very wonderfully said. Thank you to Bethany Bernhard and Addison Chapman from Safe Families for Children, Wisconsin. Thank you for being here today and sharing your passion for serving.
Thank you for having
us.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're certainly welcome. I also want to thank Jeremy Chapman and Stacy Stengel from Visiting Angels of Pewaukee. I just want to thank you all for being here today and sharing your passion for helping children and families in a variety of ways. If you would like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Visiting Angels of Pewaukee or Safe Families for Children, Wisconsin. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, like our featured guests today, who you think would like to be featured themselves on the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. If you'd like to learn more about our rich nonprofit community and the important work that they're doing right here in southeastern Wisconsin, I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about how and why these great nonprofits make a difference. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. You can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, or you can listen on demand. If you'd like to find a place to plug in and share your time, your talents, and or your resources by volunteering, donating, or advocating, I encourage you to give some thought to how you want to do that. What are the gifts that you've been blessed with, and how can you share them? Once you define how you want to do that, then you can plug into the where. Find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing, and you'll be making an impact in more ways than you can ever imagine. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.